Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge and we are glad to have you listening this morning. In this part of Focus, we'll be talking about some consumer protection issues, and one that we will concentrate on and begin with is identity theft. And it may indeed surprise you to know that if you look at the complaints that the folks at the Federal Trade Commission receive and group them according to category, identity theft is the number one. It's the largest single category of complaints that they get at the FTC. Thousands of people here in this state say every year that they've experienced that. And, of course, nationally speaking, it's a much bigger number. In this part of Focus 580, we'll start out talking about identity theft and what it is and things that you can do to try to protect yourself. And our guest for the hour is Stephen Baker. He's director for the Midwest region of the U.S. Federal Trade Commission. And he's joining us by telephone as we talk. Questions, of course, are welcome. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and so if it would be a long-distance call for you, use that number. Calls on us. That's 800-222-9455. Again, 333-WILL, and toll-free 800-222-WILL. Mr. Baker, hello.
Good morning.
Thanks for talking with us.
Great to be here.
We appreciate it. How much a problem is this? How big a problem is identity theft?
I've been with the agency almost 20 years, and I have been astonished at the growth of this problem. It has just exploded on us over the last two or three years. It's more than tripled in the last year and a half in terms of the problems we have. It used to be in early 2000. We would get maybe 30 complaints a month from Illinois citizens. Now it's way up over 300. So it is growing and it's continuing to grow. So it is a problem that has grown faster than anything I've seen since I've been at the agency.
Yeah, one of the figures on the material that you have is that nationally something like 750,000 new people, it happens to them every year. That's a pretty impressive number.
It is. So that also includes some inquiries about identity theft, but it's a huge number. And it's not just, you know, somebody that was really careless and a rare thing in the next town over. It's a huge problem right here in Illinois. Chicago is number two in the nation for cities with identity thefts occurring. Springfield is number eight in Illinois. This is a problem in Springfield, too. Illinois is number five nationally. So we're seeing these numbers are starting to flood in terms of how much of a problem, and it's getting worse and worse, and that's why we really appreciate your help, David, in helping us get the word out to people to be cautious.
Sure. Well, before we get too far there, I'm certain that probably some of the people who are listening might not quite be sure what it is we are talking about. Okay. What is identity theft?
Well, it can take in a lot of different things. Essentially, the essence, of course, is using some information about you in order to apply for credit or some other benefit and somebody else does in their name. Now, the most common way you can do that, of course, is simply stealing your credit card number. David, if I steal your credit card number and start running up bills, that's identity theft because the bills are going to appear on your credit report and you're going to be at least having asked to explain it. After that, you also see the number two problem is people applying for credit in your name. For example, let's say you get one of those credit card offers in the mail saying you're pre-approved and you pitch it out in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
What if somebody picks that up, fills it in, puts their address on it with your name and sends it in and gets a credit card in your name? We're seeing a lot of that being a problem.
Yeah.
Third, and it may surprise you, the third biggest problem we have with identity theft is people applying for utilities or telephone service in somebody else's name. And this seems to be really, really, really becoming a problem, too, particularly if somebody can apply for a cell phone in your name and use it and run up big bills.
Mm-hmm. I guess I maybe the next sets right away before talking about what one should do to try to minimize the chances that this is going to happen to you. We talked just a minute ago about the fact that it seems to be a growing problem and that the numbers are pretty dramatic, and that, for example, from people in Illinois, you're getting a year, thousands of complaints, and the number seems to be going up all the time, then I guess a natural question is, well, why? Why is it that presumably this was always something of a problem, but why is it that now we have seen such a dramatic increase in the problem?
Well, there's two possibilities for this. Partly, we're tracking the problem a little better. So it's possible that some of this was kind of subterranean and we just didn't really see it before and that we've got better data on it. But even apart from that, I'm convinced there's more of it. And partly because, like any sort of crook, as soon as somebody starts making a lot of money, then their buddies start copying them, and before long you've got more and more people doing it. In addition, you've got a situation now where there's more and more information about all of us that's generally available, whether it's over the Internet. There's a lot of transactions, of course, that are not face-to-face. 20 or 30 years ago, you probably could not apply for credit without appearing someplace in person and seeing a real person. Now you can. You can do it by mail. You can do it over the telephone. You can do it over the Internet. And that makes it a little easier. There's databases of personal information on consumers that you can see. I'll give you, for instance, we had, not too terribly long ago, we found a Russian kid in Siberia who had his own website with the names, addresses, and home numbers of thousands of Americans with their credit card numbers posted on his website. Hmm. And it's in real, we're not sure how he got it. Obviously, we talked to the security departments of the credit card companies, but that just kind of shows you how the Internet can get a huge amount of data that the crooks can get access to.
Sure. Maybe real quick here, I'll introduce again our guest for this part of Focus 580. We're speaking with Stephen Baker. He is the director for the Midwest region of the U.S. Federal Trade Commission. Mm-hmm. We thought we'd spend some time this morning talking about consumer protection issues, but here we want to concentrate, at least in the beginning, on one that they're very interested in making people more aware of, and that is identity theft. And questions are welcome. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. I know that a number of years ago, there was somebody here occasionally I talked with at the university who was interested in these issues, and we did a number of things about various consumer issues. And one of the things that she really wanted to make people sensitive to was control, having as much control as possible of your social security number. For example, I know there still are a lot of people who have it printed on their checks. And one of the things she said was, don't do that. Uh-huh. In fact, she even said, don't carry it in your wallet. Because if on the outside chance you might lose your wallet, it might be stolen, that's a number that you really want to have control over.
Mm-hmm. Those are key pieces of advice, and they're just as good now as they were then. Do not put it on your checks. There's no reason to put it on your checks. Don't carry it in your wallet. You don't have it with you. Be careful who you give that Social Security number out to. In order to apply for credit, I only need three things about you, David. I need your name, if I have your Social Security number, and I know what your mother's maiden name is, I can probably apply for credit 10 minutes on the Internet and get a credit card in your name. So that's why you want to be careful with that information and not give it out unless you really have to.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I was thinking about is just the other point that you made, and about the fact that in our household, and I'm sure it's true in a lot of other places, that I'm sure every week we get, well, more than one of those things that arrives that says, congratulations, you're pre-approved for a credit card. And what I do is I shred them. But I imagine there are probably some people who just say, oh, well, this is junk mail, and just toss it in the recycle bin or toss it in the trash, as you suggest. And there, again, is probably an important thing to say to people, don't do that. Make sure that you just, whatever way, in an effective manner, you destroy these things, because you don't want somebody else to get them.
Exactly. You really do. I would put them in the trash, I think, instead of the recycle bin. Shredding is certainly what we recommend, but I don't have a shredder at home, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners don't. Maybe tear them across through the middle or something, but try to prevent those from being used. You do have people, they call them dumpster divers. Yeah. They get into the trash, and it's, I don't know how much they're going to do it in a suburban neighborhood, but certainly if you're looking at businesses, they do it. Crooks get into businesses or offices. They've got payroll records maybe or other information. We've got law enforcement. Our agency sometimes, if we're looking at real hardcore telemarketing fraud folks, We will get into the trash sometimes, too. It's legal to do it, to try to get copies of scripts and stuff. So trash isn't as sacrosanct as a lot of people might think. You got to be careful with what you've got and what you're throwing away.
We have one caller here who I'm sure has questions. Other people who are listening, if you have questions, comments, you'd like to call, talk with our guest, Stephen Baker from the Federal Trade Commission, here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. Here's a caller in Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, the shredder is only about $20. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you about that. My question is really more along the lines of, I mean, given that everything's a database these days, and, I mean, everybody's keeping information about everybody about everything, is there anything you can do to get your information removed from that? And one of the things, I mean, I do occasionally, for example, shop online, and I'm really careful about reading privacy policy statements. I will not do business with somebody on the web who does not have a privacy policy and things like that. But, I mean, you know, once you're in, you're in. The data is going to be kept forever. So is there something that you can do to get that purged somehow? I mean, I'm familiar with direct marketing services and their do not send me stuff list, and I'm on that.
Well, you make a couple really good points. I mean, first of all, yeah, Shredder is, people can get Shredders. Second of all, people, the Direct Marketing Association, which has got a website at www.thedma.com, .org maintains a national do not call, do not mail list. So if you don't want to get junk mail, you don't want to get credit offers, call, write them, put it, get on their website and apply, and you can get removed from a whole lot of lists.
I was astounded at how much that reduced the volume of the junk mail that I got.
Well, it really does, and it will really help, particularly with the credit card offers and the things you don't want. The thing I can tell you, though, is that the real crooks out there, which is an incredible amount of telemarketing fraud and internet fraud, don't almost never get their information from legitimate businesses.
Right.
Where they get it is from somebody like you and me who goes into a diner and fills out a form to win a Chevy Blazer or a vacation to Florida. Or if we get something else in the mail that we may have won the Canadian lottery.
And basically, I mean, one of the rules of thumb that I work with, because I work on the internet a lot, I mean, with my job, is, I mean, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Nobody offers you anything for free anymore. I mean, it's like one on campus during New Student Week. You know, all the credit card companies are now offering free T-shirts if you just fill out an application. That T-shirt is no way near free. I mean, they're doing it to get your data, and then once they've got your data, they start spamming you with credit card solicitations and phone service solicitations and all that stuff. And I mean, that's what they're really after, is the data.
Yep. So you should be careful on who you give the stuff out to. And like I say, though, it's particularly important for so many people give so much information out where they think they're going to win something or it's a sweepstakes or something, and that's where the real crooks get their data. And those things, I'm sure the caller that you're very careful with it, but I'm amazed at how many people are careful with other things, but it comes to filling out a sweepstakes or a lottery coupon or something like that, will give away the store and their personal information. And that stuff does go to the crooks a lot of the time.
Yeah, everybody thinks, well, I could win something for free, I could get something for nothing. Yeah, and then they don't think about what they're doing with the data. Yeah.
That's exactly.
I mean, I guess, is there any way, I mean, once, like I said, I mean, going back to my original question, once you're out there, is there any way to get, you know, out of that stuff?
If you've gone on the web and given your credit card number away to Dell to purchase a new computer, I'm not aware of any way that you can get Dell to purge that or return it. I do know that major merchants are very, very cautious with that credit card information because they care about your goodwill. They've got security departments, and they don't want to be ripped off themselves. But I'm not aware of any way that you can get that stuff purged out. A lot of it, I'm sure they automatically get rid of over a period of time anyway, simply because information more than a few years old is just so out of date that it's not useful anymore.
One of the things that I will do when I place an order over the phone or over the web, is particularly what I like to do is surf on the web, find what I'm looking for, and then find the phone number and call them and do the order so I actually talk to a live human being. And I just tell them, okay, you know, I mean, I'm giving you this information for the purpose of completing this transaction. You know, please, if there's a little box here that says do not sell or rent my information, please check it. And if you can, just dump this data when we're done with this phone call. And a lot of times they will say, yeah, we can do that, you know. Or I'll ask them, I mean, I'll ask them, you know, where does this data go once I give it to you? And a lot of times they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I mean, am I going to get credit card offers? Oh, no, we don't do that. I'm just going to write this down on a piece of paper, fill out an order form, and I'm going to mail it to you, and that's the end of that.
Well, that's right. The other thing some of the other listeners may not be focusing on is when they visit websites, a lot of them there's boxes to check or not check on whether they want to get additional mail or email. And it's really worth paying attention to those. And as you mentioned earlier in the call, looking at the privacy policies is important too.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I won't, if they don't have a privacy policy at this point, I won't do business with them. Because by now, anybody who's doing legitimate business ought to have a privacy policy up. So, anyway, well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, I guess the caller, some of the things that the caller has mentioned, I guess I have thought about myself. And anytime that you use a credit card, whether you're shopping online or you're doing catalog shopping and you're making your order over the telephone, or maybe even you're going in, to a local business in your area, you've got to know that that number is out there. And I guess I wonder myself, you know, for example, you go out to a restaurant and you have dinner and afterwards they bring you this thing and you sign it and you get one and they get one. And I wonder, well, what happens to that one that they get that's got the number on there, and how secure is that?
Well, what we believe is that there is more of a problem with somebody stealing your credit card number from the dumpster in the back of a restaurant than there is if you use it over the Internet. In other words, the Internet is safer. And does it happen? Sure. There are actually employees sometimes who've got something, a little device they call skimmers. They put it in your hand. They run your credit card through the regular machine, but they also run it through a little device they keep in their pocket that simply records the number electronically and can use it again. What do you do with those situations? I mean, obviously you try to be cautious about it, but, you know, important, real simple thing is to watch your credit cards bill real carefully and call if you don't understand where a thing came from. Now, it seems obvious, but I am flabbergasted when we do bring cases where, you know, lots of people have been ripped off with their credit cards that only a tiny fraction have ever complained. Lots of people don't notice that, they just pay it. So taking a look at your credit card bill and making sure that these really are your charges is a real important thing. Another one for consumers to know is that if it's not your charge, you can call the credit card company and they will take it off and you will not be charged. That gives you actually some protection. In some ways, you're safer using a credit card for transactions over the Internet or the telephone than you would be if you sent them cash or money orders or checks, because you've got some rights to charge back if it's a credit card transaction. Finally, if I might mention on credit cards, there's also a whole new group of credit card or telemarketing scams that are calling people, pretend to be their Visa card people, and saying, hey, you know there's a change in law and you're liable for tens of thousands of dollars if somebody steals your identity and uses your card, and we're selling you credit card loss protection, and we're going to charge you $3.95 and put that on your bill, okay? Well, it's not $3.95, it's $395. And you don't need it, because under federal law, they can't charge you more than $50. And the reality is all the major credit card companies have got a policy of not charging you a nickel. So do use your credit card. Be careful with it. Watch your bill. And don't get caught in one of these credit card loss protection scams. It's a huge, huge telemarketing fraud problem we're seeing right now.
Okay. We're getting close to the midpoint of the program, and I have several callers, and we'll get right to them, but I do again want to introduce our guest. We're speaking with Stephen Baker. He is director for the Midwest region of the Federal Trade Commission, and we're talking about consumer protection issues. And the thing that we've been concentrating here on the beginning is the issue of identity theft, something that the folks at the FTC would like you to be aware of. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, in fact, if you look at the categories of complaints that they receive, identity theft is the number one, and it does seem to be growing. So, questions welcome. We do have the lines full right at the moment, so if you call right now, you'll get a busy signal, but let me give you the number again. Anyway, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Next caller up is in Champaign. It's line number two. Hello.
Hi. This has been a great, great topic. As a silly example of not using common sense, I went ahead and responded to a message on my AOL account. And they always say, every time you sign on, you know, we will never ask you your password. Well, this very official-looking window popped up one day, and I was in a hurry, and I didn't think. And I went ahead and entered my password in because they said they were making some kind of changeover, and it was a way to improve security. And, of course, I came in a couple days later, couldn't log into my account. Well, somebody had stolen my password and had sent out probably thousands of messages. Hundreds of people had written back to me, very nasty, mean notes, by the way. But the AOL actually disconnected my account because they said, "Oh, you're trying to swindle people or whatever." And of course, we got it all straightened out. But it was because I failed to take very simple, basic, common sense precaution. So that's a really good thing to remind people about.
This does happen. How much of a hassle was this for you?
I thought I was going to have to change my account completely, or at least change my screen name, because I was really, for about 2 weeks, I was getting dozens of very nasty, hateful, hurtful letters, emails. Eventually, they tapered off and disappeared. So it kind of went away once AOL found out what was going on. And of course, nobody blamed me in the end. I mean, I didn't get any extra charges, or I didn't get fined or anything by AOL, but it was clearly, you know, somebody was using my screen name and password for something, and AOL was able to track it down pretty quickly. Apparently, they've got a decent understanding of how these kinds of scams work.
We've seen that. There are obviously hackers. They do try to do it. I guess the message from this, because it happens in other contexts, is be careful if people say they're from the security department or if they want you to verify your credit card number to them. I mean, a lot of the crooks say, okay, we need you to verify what your credit card number is. They don't have your credit card number until you give it to them.
Right. And so that's been a good suggestion here. I did have a couple questions about the Social Security number issue that you'd brought up earlier. Why do banks even allow people to put the Social Security number on checks if it creates such a problem, which ultimately banks also have to pay for? I know I just recently got a bunch of checks and put my Social Security number on there. Now I realize I'm going to have to spend another $30 or $40 to eliminate that error. And why would a bank even allow a customer without telling them this is a security risk to do that? Second question is, how about organizations, companies that use your Social Security number as some kind of an identification number? If you don't want to give out your Social Security number, what can you do? They say we need it for identification purposes or whatever. What's the alternative? How do we, you know, go about of not giving out the Social Security number? And I'll let you answer that. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure. Okay. The idea of talking to the banks about not permitting people to put Social Security numbers, I think it's actually a good one. I had not thought about that. And maybe that's something we ought to follow up on, because the banking agencies and the banks have been really helpful in this identity theft issue. And that's probably something that we could talk to them about and see if they could, if nothing else, discourage people from doing that. People had it, I think, some historically, because a lot of places your driver's license number was also your Social Security number. That's not the case, I don't think, anywhere, but partly that is. The second part of the question was, why do people really need your Social Security number? Well, what they do is they like to have a unique identifier, so they keep things separate. The credit reporting agencies, there's three big ones nationally that keep track of what debts everybody has got, how much credit, what their credit rating is. They keep track of those by Social Security numbers just to avoid getting people mixed up, because you can have people with almost identical names in the same apartment building, and if information gets mixed up between them, it's very hard to get fixed. So the Social Security number is pretty much a unique identifier, and they rely on it for that. Other people do the same thing pretty much for the same reasons. And the moral is just to be pretty cautious that you know who you're dealing with before you give out your Social Security number. And we, of course, encourage you to really ask them those hard questions. Why do you need it? Is there a law that requires that you have it? Is there something else I can give you instead that will do it? And those sorts of steps will help some, too. Your other option, of course, is always to not do business there if they want. Somebody mentioned earlier in the show I wouldn't do business with a website that didn't have a privacy policy. Well, if you have somebody that demands your Social Security number and you can't understand why they need it, you know, some similar advice might be in order.
Yeah, it reminds, again, takes me back to this this person that I used to talk with about consumer issues. I remember having that same sort of conversation, because it seemed that there was a time, and I'm not sure if it's still true, but there was a time when if you were buying something and you were writing a check here locally, it seemed like that's what they insisted on having was your Social Security number, which they wrote down on the check or wrote down somewhere. And what she said was, you don't have to give it to them. You should say, no, I won't do it. And then you might, though, find yourself forced with that choice. That is, if they'd say, well, too bad, you have to give it to us, then you might have to say, well, too bad, I'm walking. Mm-hmm. I'll go spend my money someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
But sort of on that same note, it seems to me that in the same sort of a way, another number that businesses often use that way is your driver's license number. And I wonder, is that something that you should be concerned about maintaining some control over?
I'm not really aware of driver's license numbers being really used for these sorts of things. I've not seen anybody really use it in applying for credit, and I just haven't seen that many problems with using it. I'd say, like any sort of uniquely identifying information for you, you should be a little cautious with it, but it's certainly nothing in the league with the problems we have with Social Security numbers.
Okay. All right, very good. Let's go on. Our next caller is in Urbana on line number 3. Hello.
Hi. I think you've talked about this before, but you gave out a website and or a phone number that one can call to request being taken off mailing lists, you know, both for real mail and email.
Yes, I don't have the phone number for that handy with me. The organization is the Direct Marketing Association, located in Washington, D.C. Their website I do happen to know offhand, and that's www.thedma.org. And they've got a mail preference service and a telephone preference service, and if you give them your name, you can get off most mailing lists and most telemarketing operations by at least legitimate telemarketers. And they are anxious to do this because it's also something that costs them money to send you this junk mail. And if you don't want it, if you're going to throw it away, they just as soon save the money. Just to note, in passing, the Federal Trade Commission, our chairman, Muras, has announced very recently that the Federal Trade Commission is going to establish a national do not call list within the next year for everybody in the United States. Huh. So people will be able to get on that and hopefully stop a lot of the telemarketing if they want to.
That would be great. So if I go to the site, the website, I would be able to do it from there.
Yes, you
okay.
should be able to.
And it's the DMA, T-H-E-D-M-A.
T-H-E-D-M-A, exactly.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. All right, thanks for the call. I am on their website right now, as a matter of fact, and there is a phone number listed. It's not a toll-free number, but there is a number listed, which is, it's in New York. It's 212-768-7277. There is various kinds of information available here on that. So this is the Direct Marketing Association.
David, since you're doing phone numbers, we have a national telephone toll-free number for identity theft problems, too.
Sure.
Which I should mention, which is real simple. It's 877-ID-THEFT. And anybody with an ID theft problem really needs to call that, because we're put together a big computer database of all the identity theft problems and all the information we got in it. And we've got a Secret Service agent that's on loan to the FTC who's going through that, mining that data, and finding criminal cases that he can send out to federal prosecutors. So we need the information. It's important that people complain.
Okay. We will go on now to another caller. And I believe the next person in line is Bloomington, Illinois, and that's line number 4. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, just a minute. Let me turn off my radio. Here we go. Hey, look, I have no problem with the credit card numbers, because I'm very, very fussy about who I give these numbers to. But the Social Security number that somebody else brought up in your program just a couple of minutes ago, that has always been a sticking point with me, and I don't like to give out my Social Security number either. And I have actually had people getting really hacked off at me because I refused to give them the number when it didn't seem necessary to give it to them. Why would it not be possible to just give out the final four digits of the number rather than the entire Social Security number? That would have some impact too, don't you think?
I think that's a very interesting idea. I hear you, because I'm sure that you have been hassled sometimes for not wanting to share it. On the other hand, what you're doing is exactly what we encourage, is to really ask people those hard questions and why they got to have it, what they're going to do with it, and how they protect it, and if there's like a law that requires that they collect it, because often there's not.
Okay.
Using the last four digits would seem to me like a decent idea in terms of...
A pretty good idea, because without the rest of it, your identity cannot be stolen.
Right. No, I think that's a very interesting idea.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, thanks. We'll go on back here locally to Urbana and line one. Hello.
Yes, good morning. Wonderful show. I have two pet peeves. The first one is when I buy something at local stores, they want my telephone number. And I always say, I'm sorry, you can't have my telephone number. And the clerk who's been taught to say, well, I can't complete the transaction without it. And I say, well, okay, I will go somewhere else. And somebody usually will pop up and say, oh, just put in 99 if they don't want to give you the telephone number. I assume they are selling those to telemarketers. What do you think?
It depends. Some of the reason they do that, I know, at stores is so that they know where their customers come from. In other words, if they know the telephone numbers and the exchanges that their customers are coming from, they can figure out how broad a geographic area they want to advertise in. And sometimes stores that collect that sort of information use it for mailing lists, too. So people that have come in regularly, they can send them special offers and things like that. Most legitimate.
Why can't they do that if I'm using my credit card? What do they need my phone number for then?
Well, I guess, what do they tell you?
They tell me they just have to have it to complete the transaction, and I always say no.
I think mostly they don't. I think it's probably an opportunity. If there is a problem, if they've got a phone number, it's a way for them to check it. I would not give it to them if you don't want to. I see no reason why they have to have it, and I'm sure most of them have got alternatives if you don't want to put it in. I will tell you that the legitimate businesses don't sell your personal information to fraudulent telemarketers. That's a valuable asset of theirs, that mailing list, and when they do sell it or rent it, if Sears takes their credit card holder list and sells it to Finger Hut for a one-time mailing, socket wrenches, what Sears does is they put in a couple fake names in that list that go back to post office boxes that belong to Sears or telephones that belong to Sears. So in other words, if Sears rents its mailing list out to somebody else, it knows then who is, if it's being abused. If more than one thing shows up in their post office box or they start getting phone calls from people not Finger Hut but somebody else, they know that somebody's abused their mailing list. So most legitimate businesses are real cautious. The real crooked telemarketers get your names, like I said, from when you're down the shopping mall and fill out some sort of sweepstakes application, or those boxes in the diners, or cards in magazines that say, learn how to make $1 million working at home on computers. Those are leads, and that is where the crooks really get your names.
Well, my second pet peeve, of course, is the telemarketer, and I have now installed, and for many years now, an answering machine because we don't want to be bothered. And so if people are bothered by the telemarketers, just put in an answering machine and they're never going to leave you a message and they'll never bother you. And I must get 2 to 3 calls a night where they hang up because I have an answering machine. So that's a very good thing to do. The one time that I did not and I accidentally picked up the phone, we were scammed even though we said no thank you. So I recommend answering machines if people don't even want to talk to telemarketers.
There's that. The other thing that we encourage people to do if they do answer the phone is to, what I do is I say, please put me on your do not call list. Now, after that, they're legally obligated to keep a do not call list and to not call again. And we have brought cases recently in Illinois against people for violating that. So if you get calls from telemarketers, whether it's the phone companies or credit card companies, tell them, please put me on your do not call list. That's also a polite way of ending the conversation. We know from our research that some consumers have a really hard time getting off the phone with telemarketers. They feel bad. They feel guilty on hanging up on somebody they think may be just
right.
a college student. But don't feel guilty. Hang up. Tell them, put me on your do not call list and move on.
Thank you, and it's a great show.
All right. Well, thanks very much. And just I suppose we should just remind people that only applies to for-profit ventures, people who are basically calling to sell you something that nonprofit organizations that are raising money for charitable causes and so forth. And it's my understanding, you correct me if it's wrong, they're exempt from that. Is that right?
The Federal Trade Commission, real not-for-profit organizations are exempt from our consumer protection laws. Although I must tell you, we have a real problem with people calling consumers and pretending they're raising money for the sheriff's department or the police department or the fire department or they're going to buy bulletproof vests, and they're not the police department or the fire department. They're just crooks getting your money. And in those situations, what we recommend is don't give them any money over the telephone. If you really want to support your local fire department, which is a good thing, call them directly and volunteer your money.
All right.
There's lots and lots and lots and lots of people, unfortunately, that pretend to be raising money for charities, and they just put it in their own pocket. We had several cases after September 11th, people pretending they're collecting money for victims, and they weren't. It was just for themselves.
All right. The next caller here is in Champaign, and it's line number two. Hello.
How safe is it for us with all this junk mail, all these catalogs, and they have our names and addresses on them and little colored boxes with numbers, how safe is that for us to throw those away with those numbers all intact?
I've never heard of an identity thief getting information from a catalog that you receive in the mail. So I would think you're probably safe enough to throw those away or put them in your recycle bin. The one thing I guess I'm more concerned about is like credit card offers, because those do have
I understand. You don't have to.
There's more with those.
Other people have questions. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. But it is if this is sort of a separate issue, but if you're concerned with junk mail and unsolicited mail, you can. If you're dealing with a particular company and you like that company and you're happy to get their catalog, you can say to them, I don't want you to give my name and address to anybody else to get a bunch of stuff that maybe you don't want.
You should be. On the Internet, you've usually got the option of checking a box on whether they will pass your information to third parties or not. That's not as common in direct mail situations. And clearly that is one of the issues for the next couple of years. There's been a big push for privacy on the Internet in terms of sharing information. What about stuff in direct mail and telemarketing? Shouldn't the same rules apply?
Mm-hmm.
And that debate and possible legislation on that are still got to be sorted out.
Okay. Next caller in line is Aurora, line three. Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I guess that I think we're on line three, but this is Urbana, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm in Urbana.
Pardon me. I guess that Aurora person changed their mind. Well, go ahead.
Okay, I just went out to my, probably shouldn't announce this on the radio, but I have a box outside by the where we get our mail, and I just throw the junk mail in there so anybody walking by could come and pick things out. So I went out and picked something out after listening to you. Here's an offer to my wife from a credit card company. But there's not going to be, since she hasn't agreed to anything, right, there's not going to be any number on here that can be used against her, right?
Well, this is an offer to your wife for a credit card. If somebody had that, filled it in, and put a different address on it, or maybe tying it in with some other information about you they might be able to get, they might be able to get a credit card. So it's just there is more to it. I mean, and plus there's often 800 numbers on those and sometimes a numerical code that's printed on it. And if you call back with that code and claim you are whatever your name is, Joe Caller, then they may be a long way towards presuming who you are. And if you tie in your Social Security number, they're probably home and about ready to offer you credit. So you just need to be more cautious with those. And I'd say put those in a trash bag or tear them through a couple times before, if you've got to put them in the trash.
Okay.
But that's one way people get information, yeah.
Tuck meal is already onerous enough, and now we have to do something with it besides throw it in the recycling.
Right.
Okay, that's good to know, and I won't keep this on my... After September 11th, or really October, I guess, you know, I was keeping most of the mail out on the porch anyway.
Here's another, if I might interject, another point on the mail. Is, some of you, including something I used to do until recently, when I paid my bills, I would just attach them to the mailbox for the letter carrier to take. Well, it turns out that some of the identity thefts will go around neighborhoods and steal that mail. Now, of course, that's a crime. That's mail theft, and you can go to the prison for it. But armed with that, they've got your name and your account number for utilities and maybe a cell phone bill. And if they then send in a change of address for your cell phone or utilities and get that stuff sent to them instead, they can do a lot of stuff with stealing your mail. So we encourage putting your mail in the mailbox and not just hanging it from your mailbox like I used to do.
Good point. I have my credit card number sitting out on my front porch right now. I'm going to be racing the mail carrier and all the bad guys in the neighborhood to it, which is sort of a related question. The credit card companies want you to put your account number on your check, and
we recommend that you not put account numbers on any of your checks.
Okay.
And partly because they don't have to have it. It's useful for them if they can't read, there's something messed up with your check or it gets partially torn in the mail and they want to match it up. It's easier for them. But they don't have to have it. And I would say don't put it on your checks as long as you're sending in, you know, the statement too so they can match it up with that. If you put it on the checks, there's an increased likelihood of fraud, and we recommend against going to the effort of putting your account number on your checks.
Thanks. And one last thing, and I'll hang up. I just called that New York number that you recommended, and they sent me back to the website. So if I had wanted to wait on a lot longer and do something more complicated, maybe there's a way to talk to a person again. But seems like the best way to do that, even if you're calling on your own dime to that number in New York, is really to forget about it and go to the website.
Oh, okay.
That was my experience.
Yeah,
not everybody's got the internet, so that's why David was so good at giving out the telephone number.
But if all that does is they say go to the website, that may be a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
Did it seem like, Colin? Did it seem like eventually, if you were going to put the time into it, that you could accomplish what you wanted to accomplish over the phone?
I think so, because I got a human being right away without any wait, and then she put me into the voicemail, which then urged me to go back to the computer.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. We will continue here. We have about 7 minutes left. Our guest is Stephen Baker. He is director for the Midwest region of the Federal Trade Commission. And we're talking about consumer protection, particularly the issue here of identity theft, something they want people to know about because it's a growing problem. Questions are welcome. We'll just keep going here with the callers we have. The next person in line is in Chicago, and that's line 4. Hello.
Thank you. I heard of biometrics as being a means now that's used in California, using your fingerprint as a identity security. Have you heard anything about the good things about it?
Well, we've heard of different ways of protecting security. Biometrics, of course, means bio, some sort of bodily things. Obviously, thumbprints, fingerprints, retina scans. Other things are all things that people are talking about in order to try to increase security and prevent people from pretending to be somebody they're not. A lot of those are expensive technologies.
It's being implemented in California, I understand, because of the millions and billions of credit cards. This may supplant the need for all the carrying all those things around, et cetera, so that all your fingerprint is yours and yours alone, although there's... You've got smudged hands and that. You may want to still use the credit cards and checks and whatever. But they say it's successful to the extent they're using it.
I haven't seen it myself. I'm sure it's coming. There's going to be a need for more security, absolutely, on these sorts of things.
Thank you.
All right. Urbana, next, line 1. Hello.
Yeah, two things. One is this actually happened to me. I was in Florida, and my credit card was skimmed. One of the things you're not bringing up is that apparently it's a real law enforcement nightmare, because I was told that what happens is they take the encoded part of your card and then place that on blank cards, which they could put any name on, and that because the person that actually grabs your magnetic coding with his skimmer, it may not be the person who he sells that to somebody, and you know, sells a card with your number on it to somebody, and they can, you know, there could be 20 people that they give it to. It's a real law enforcement nightmare. And could you talk about that a bit? And then, if there's time, I'd like to know if you're seeing any problems with debit cards. And I'll hang up. Thanks.
Debit cards, no, I haven't seen anything, so I suppose that's some good news. In terms of this is a nightmare for consumers to get this straightened out, we've got a whole thing on our website at www.ftc.gov with a lot of free materials on ID theft. You don't have to write Pueblo, Colorado. You can get it free, or you can call the FTC toll-free at 877-FTC-HELP. And get information on it. One of the problems we've had in the past is the police thought this was a victimless crime, so they wouldn't take police reports. That's changing. They are now beginning to realize that this is a problem. We're all paying for it. Those billions of dollars that are being stolen are coming out of somebody's pockets, and I guarantee it's you and me in terms of higher interest rate. In terms of the police, these are difficult cases for them. I'll tell you one war story just for fun. You know how your neighborhood, you've got these green mailboxes you can't put mail into, but they store them for the letter carriers?
Mm-hmm.
What used to be 10 or 15 years ago, that the crooks knew what the day was when everybody was getting their new American Express cards in the mail. And I talked to some cops, and they went to a warehouse in New Jersey, huge warehouse, and inside there were hundreds of those green mailboxes. What the crooks were doing is going around neighborhoods, stealing the entire darn box, putting in the back of the truck, opening those just to get the credit cards. So in other words, you've got some adventuresome criminals out there on this sort of stuff. That problem has been solved, I think, because now you've got to call an 800 number to activate a new card, which you didn't used to do. But that just shows you the sort of problem we've got. And there are law enforcement agents working on this, and particularly some of the identity problems, theft problems, that after September 11th, we're having more luck getting the criminal authorities pay attention to these sorts of problems. We had some websites that we sued 6 months or so ago. You could go to this website and you could get the computer templates to make what looked like real police IDs or driver's licenses from any state in the United States. And they even had a little program that would randomly generate a valid Social Security number for you on that site.
Yeah.
We had a heck of a time getting law enforcement agencies to pay attention, because they said, well, gee, kids are just going to use it for underage drinking. Is that such a big thing? Now they're convinced. And I think all those sorts of sites have been shut down. And I think law enforcement agencies are paying more and more attention to it. But in terms of it being difficult, yeah, it sometimes is.
We're going to have to stop. I'm sorry, we have a couple of calls we can't take. But just one more time, I want to mention that if you have access to the Internet, if you're interested in the website of the Direct Marketing Association, these are the folks that you can contact if you want to say, I don't want the junk mail. That's the www.thedma.org. And then, of course, the Federal Trade Commission, they have a website, which is www.ftc.gov. So you can check that out. And we want to say, Mr. Baker, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Well, David, it's been a pleasure.
Our guest, Stephen Baker, he's director for the Midwest region of the Federal Trade Commission.